Welcome to Traditional Medicine with Chantel Michaud, Bear Clan from the Leech Lake Ojibwe. Sharing with you our ancestors' traditional knowledge of medicinal plants, we give thanks to our ancestors and our elders for the gifts that we are given, and with many thanks and our respect to Mother Earth, who continues to enrich our lives with vital medicines, plants, food, and water that are much needed by our bodies. Today we're talking about our wetlands and the marsh, especially the marsh and the plants that we find in the marsh. What healing plants are there, and what consists of a marsh? What makes it a marsh? So we're talking about the marshes and the wetlands. Herbs for wet places. Divining herbs first, right? We had plants that we consider culinary herbs because they're for our spices. We have the medicinal herbs that control our illnesses and our ailments, as well as with our animals, other plants, and humans. Our fragrant herbs, those are going to be used for our perfumes and our smells and aromatherapy. And also we use plants for dyes. So there's many reasons that we look at herbs, and there's many reasons to use herbs, as well as looking at the different things that we can use the herb for, because one herb can be used for many different things. So we're going to look at our marshes and kind of look at our wetlands and see what's in our wetlands. If our water is 2 to 4 inches below the crown of the plant, that's a bog or a swamp. And a lot of these places, as we've talked before, are kind of similar. And something we had talked about with the bogs, but we didn't get into, did I talk about the valerian? Because valerian is one of my favorite anti-anxiety, as well as insomnia and just helping you relax. And those are found in our bogs as well, in our marshes and our swamplands. Some of the plants that we can find in our marshes. In our marshes are plants that are growing in the shallow water and seasonal. Shallow marshes include the cattails, the bulrushes, the lake sedges, the arrowheads and burrow reeds, as well as pond weeds and water lilies. Habitats are abundant for the waterfowl and other water birds, as well as our fur-bearing friends and our aquatic insects, because all of these are excellent ecosystem. Our marshes, swamplands, and bogs is what we've been talking about this last few shows. Makes excellent habitat for some fish species as well. And when our birds are migrating, it really is excellent for our birds because they get down there and they eat on the submerged plants and aquatic insects. So it's an abundant food source for all of these. And now we'll get into what some of these healing plants are. For the cattails are excellent. Have you played with cattails when you were younger? We talked to the word bulrush, though that's another name for cattail. Grows in shallow water, like it's about 5 to 10 feet tall, and is edible. I've got to tell you that I've never eaten a cattail. The roots of this cattail can be boiled and eaten as you would a potato. And if you smash them, they'll eventually produce edible sweet syrup as well. You can dry the roots and grind them to a powder, which is good for helping your flour. It contains protein, these roots do, and you can help boost your bread making skills with this. And the young shoots, when they come up in the spring, you can cook these or you can eat them raw, pretty much like asparagus. When they get up to about 50 centimeters is when we stop cooking our raw shoots. And raw or cooked, just make sure that you remove the outer layer of the stem. You make it into a soup. You can roast it or eat it raw. And that's the flower spike. And the pollen, it's protein rich. And the whole plant in general, you can dry and use. The dried pollen may be used on wounds, also helping with removing blood clots. Helps with hemorrhages after it's been roasted with charcoal, as well as helping with painful menstruations and kidney stones, uterine bleeding or lymphatic cancer. Postpartum pains. Never use it during pregnancy, though. How about a decoction of the stems that have been used for whooping cough and the roots? The roots have been used for diuretic properties. And it also helps promote the flow of breastfeeding mothers. These cattails are amazing, and these are in our marshes. Remember, we're talking about the marshes and the wetlands. And we're kind of talking about our cattails because they're amazing. We've never talked about cattails, I don't think. We coulda, because my memory's a little off. But I don't recall talking about cattails before. And I just find them amazing of how much healing they do for our bodies. So a decoction of the stems for whooping cough, as I'd mentioned, and the milk flow. You can also pound it into and make it into a jelly or a poultice. Use for your wounds and your cuts and your burns. The flowers are used for stomach pains, cysts, irregular periods. What about eating the young flower heads? This is going to help with your diarrhea or... And sometimes, you know, what else they use these cattails for? The downy substance was actually used for helping with the baby's nappy and also for wound dressing. The leaves. Remember when I was talking about earlier that everything can be used for so many different things? The leaves were gathered for thatching material, could be used in paper, made into pulp, highly inflammable. So these cattails have just been a whole wealth of information, and we were kind of talking about the marshes and plants in there, but we got stuck on cattails because there's so much for them to be able to do. Let's move over here to these pond weeds. You've seen those pond weeds out. We like to catch the fish in there. I always try to throw my hook in there, and I get it caught a lot because it's weeds. And you can't, sometimes you can catch fish, and sometimes you just catch weeds. But the pond weed is excellent because it's a prod leafy cabbage floating on top of the water. All the things that you don't like to really touch you when you're out there swimming. Well, I kind of ran out of time, so we're going to catch these next plants on our next show, which is fens and muskegs. And these are all wetlands, so we're going to be talking about more wetland plants and healing. And our ancestors knew all about it. So this show was kind of on cattails that we can find in our marshes. We'd like to give thank you to our supporters, the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant, as well as the Community Radio Service and Equipment Grant, for providing local programming. We say miigwech, safe journeys, and we'll chat with you next time on Traditional Medicine with Chantel Michaud, Bear Clan from the Leech Lake Ojibwe. Giba Wabanin.